I've warned Steve that this might be the weirdest talk you've ever experienced. I have been preparing for a week every day to talk about what freedom is to us as followers of Jesus, and to know what that is by what Jesus said and how Jesus lived. And it's been such a rich experience for me. I don't do that a lot, of just go from scripture to scripture, and starting always with prayer for you, for each one of you that I know. I see some faces I don't know, and lifting you each in prayer. And so that I know, even though I don't know what I'm going to say, I know that God has brought you today, here. And anytime I've spoken, I'm always in preparation, humbled by who you are. I mean, each of you brings such a yearning to know God's blessings and God's richness for us, the resources of God and the caring and the love. I mean, to have a God that two things, you'd think maybe one, but not both, that he both, I say he, I'm grown up that way, knows you through and through more than you know yourself, more than anybody knows you. Okay, I can accept that. But that he loves you so much. To me, those two things almost don't go together. That if you know somebody through and through, it's just like, well, or ourselves, we have trouble loving ourselves. So that is the God who we worship, and that you're here for a reason. I picked the Beatitudes for the scripture, despite Jean's warning that that's three chapters, and it would look funny in the bulletin to be three chapters. I don't plan on reading them, all three of them, but I knew Joseph Bell would read them. I knew he comes early, and he studies the bulletin, and he would read them. And indeed he did. It took 15 minutes, he said. But other scriptures have been flooding my mind also. And of course, one, thanks to Charles, comes to mind frequently, and that is the one that he wishes I didn't read, but that I could memorize, but I forget. I memorize it, and then I forget. But it's Psalm 100. And Psalm 100 goes, in the Bible that I use, the New King James, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." And then one more from Matthew 19:14. "Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and then departed from there." Okay, so the children are dismissed if they want. I'm going to say a few words only because as much as I found the procedure, the process enriching, the flooding of images of Jesus and how he gave and gave and gave and gave, and yet said that that was freedom. It's hard to know how to even talk about that. One story after another where he was so antagonized. I mean, the names that he was called and the things he was accused of and the entrapments that were going on constantly as he ministered. His speech, not speech, but when he went to his hometown right after he began his ministry in other towns, and they were appreciating what he said and amazed by it, the graciousness and authority of it. And he goes to his hometown and reads the prophecy and said, "This prophecy is fulfilled today in your hearing." I mean, what better message to ever hear in your life? And he noticed that there were people there that were doubting and sort of like, who does he think he is? We know who he is. We know who his father is. I mean, and how come he's not doing miracles like we so-called heard all those other places? And he called them out, and they got so angry that they rushed him out of the synagogue and drove him to a cliff to throw him off. So when you're called upon to give a message, anything could happen if you're telling the truth and talking about not what people want to hear, maybe, but the truth of God and his love. So that was his experience in his own hometown. So yours is liable to not be that dramatic if you feel God's leading to speak. Anyway, when I was going through all of the ways that freedom is different in the world versus the freedom that Christ gives, all the way we seek for freedom, all the things we do to feel like we're at liberty that just backfire on us, that cause us isolation, that actually end up taking more of our autonomy away from us. Maybe you have examples of that. And so when Jesus says that we find freedom through praising God, through thanksgiving, like Charles was saying, if you don't forgive, you don't feel good. But if you let go and forgive, then you breathe deep and find freedom. And showing mercy rather than feeling, I don't want to do that. I'm too angry. That person has done something too terrible. But when you show mercy, does it take away from you? Or does it give you both something that loosens the bonds that you're under? I think that there are so many ways of talking about how we are not free, how we don't feel free, that we have put in our own minds. Some of you are probably not like that, but I'm like that. My mind can spin and get on a track that's not healthy. And how do we let go of that? Well, One of the building blocks of my faith was to put a little toe in the water here and there and trust God with something. And God would come through in surprising ways for me. But one of the things that I was always finding hard to do was to trust that, it sounds funny putting it into words, but I thought God just wasn't powerful enough, just wasn't able to help me know what he wanted, because I didn't feel like I could succeed in understanding, is this really God's, what God is saying to me? But of course, God knows each of you exactly how you are and knows exactly how to reach you. Like the man who was blind, and Jesus he spat on the ground and he made mud out of his spit. Can you imagine that if you couldn't see? And there was Jesus, and all of a sudden he's putting this salve of his saliva and mud on your eyes. And he says, okay, how's that? And he goes, well, it's sort of all right. It looks like trees walking. And so did he do it again? I forget. But he says, okay, now what? How's that? And he could see. Now, Jesus didn't do that with any other person that he healed. But that's exactly what that man needed to have faith and be healed. So faith is what I was building by asking God. I'd say, I think I know what you want, but how do I know? How do I know? Anyway, we each have our personal relationship with God, and if it fits what the Bible talks about his life, and if it fits the saints that you know, then you step out and trust God to be leading you, who you are, in your next step, in your needs. And remember when Jesus says, who among you with the people that you love, with the children that you love, the children that you care for, and your child asks for something, are you going to give him something terrible in return? What, you probably know the exact words, Giuseppe, if you give him if he asks for a blah, blah, would you give him a snake? What is it, Giuseppe? Yep. So when we ask for God for something, we need to trust that God knows our hearts and what to provide for us. And I used to give a caveat. I would say, Lord, if what I'm asking is conducive to your will, please help me in that. Because I wasn't sure I was even asking for the right things. So I overthink things. Maybe you don't. I mean, however you are, that's who God knows you to be and loves you for it. And the freedom comes from faith, from trusting the one who loves you better than anyone else, including yourself, and the one who knows you better than you know yourself or anybody else knows you. Those two things. And it seems so ludicrous to me sometimes that we trust ourselves rather than God. I mean, so if you're having trouble getting out of what is making you miserable, I would say give that to God and trust that God will lead you. One lamp to my feet, the Bible says, which is annoying, I know. I want more than the lamp. I want to see that whole road from beginning to end. I don't want just to make sure I'm not going to fall as I keep going forward. But a lamp to your feet is good news. It's good news. You can keep going in God's way, and God will lead. So how do we have this freedom in Christ? I was unable every time I tried to prepare this message to come up with the message. So I just have tons of scribbles and cards and hours worth of work. And so I knew that God knows who I am and knows who you are. And in this loving community, somehow there are messages that you have for one another from God, messages from the Spirit to you, and I don't know what those are. And so I decided that I would not codify anything that I had learned and enjoyed reading and go just present that the God is worthy. As Charles said, he's worthy of our worship and our trust. And if you think somebody else knows you better than God, you're wrong. If you think somebody loves you more than God loves you, you're wrong. And so, who else do you want in your life as your guide, as the one to turn to? Do you think God will take away your freedom? You're wrong. For the true freedom is in living the way Jesus lives and teaches. And it may seem folly to be forgiving others, to be giving aid, to be giving of your own substance to help others. And to live a life of thanks and humility. But I think we've learned that when we assert that we're here for a reason and we have leadings to do things, that God can lead us in all the right ways in that way. And we may get ourselves all dirty, you know, but Jesus said to his disciples, you have come to me and you are clean except for the dust on your feet. Well, just scrub up those feet from time to time and go on. So I'm going to leave it at that. There were scriptures that have to do with freedom and living God's life of freedom and following, but it's all there for you too. Even the Beatitudes that seem like strange words and do's and don'ts, they're all meant to loosen the bonds that we bind ourselves with, that we bind others with. And you can read the whole life of Jesus saying, if there's a binding going on, it's to be made strong, not to be made in unable to function. So praise God, and may Jesus live in our hearts and our actions.